Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us navigate the tumult of life. And today, our goal is to figure out how to stay out of hell, and we have a guest that'll help us.
Yeah, we want to welcome Patrick O'Hearn. He is a devout Catholic husband and father. He is an author, content writer at Fusati, literary consultant, speaker, and a freelance editor, previously serving as Tan Books Acquisitions editor for 2 years. He has authored or co-authored 7 books and counting, and was a contributor to Father Donald Calloway's latest release, 30-Day Eucharistic Revival, a retreat with St. Peter Aimard. So welcome, Patrick O'Hearn. And Dan Burke, because you're the co-author of this book that we're going to talk about.
Oh, thanks for having
today.
Me.
Yeah.
How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing well. And it's an honor to always be with you both.
Well, I want to tell people the truth about this book, The Truth About Hell, is I wanted to write this book, but frankly, the content and the amount of detail I wanted to go into was repugnant to me. I mean, writing in general is ascetical for me. So I recruited Patrick, and boy, did he do a good job at bringing out all the details. But Patrick, you know, I'm curious, and I'll just do a survey of the room,
okay,
including our producer. How many of you have heard homilies in your parish on the topic of hell since you've been Catholic?
I have, but it's been very rare. I've heard maybe a couple, but we also have some very Orthodox priests in our circles. So
yeah. So was it the whole homily on it, or just?
It was a reference to it.
Only a reference. So that, right. So not a homily.
Not a full homily.
What about you, Jordan?
I had a exorcist priest in a TLM. So
an exorcist priest in a TLM,
but
totally
that was
makes
the
sense.
Only time. The rest of the time, I would say 99% of the rest of the time, there wasn't anything.
Minor reference. Yeah. I have no memory of any. Now, we've been to many, as you noted, good masses, good priests. TLM tend to be a little bit more forthright about such things. Still don't remember a homily on hell. How about you, Patrick?
I've heard one or two on hell in my lifetime.
You know, what's interesting is that's kind of disproportionate to Jesus' treatment of the subject, I think. He didn't talk about it all the time, but he certainly brought it up either by direct teaching on it or by inference. And some of my favorite passages are by inference. But yeah, I mean, I which is why I think in our time, there's so much confusion about hell. And I think because people don't understand it, believe in it, it's not at the forefront, that we have a laxity in morals in
yeah.
the church.
Yeah, yeah. So why do you think priests avoid it so heavily?
You know, I think there are a couple reasons. I'm interested to hear you. Actually, Patrick, why do you think it's avoided topic?
I think, you know, we often hear the comforting gospel of heaven, and we need to balance that. You know, in the book, you know, as we're going to dive into, you know, Our Lady showed the visionaries heaven before she showed them hell, and that was a smart move. And I mean, our final goal is to be in heaven, so that's the focus, you know, where our heart should be. But at the same time, I think that the reason, again, I think there's this overemphasis on, I think partly, you know, priests don't want to maybe rock the boat with people. They just don't want to scare people, and so they focus mostly on heaven, or you know, even sin, like that's not even talked about. So my thing is, I think the focus is more on heaven, eternal life, which it should be, but at the same time they're kind of neglecting hell, you know, that other element.
What do you think it is?
I think in part it's an issue with the laity that we don't want to hear about it.
And so we beat up the priest if they talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's a, I think in part it's an outgrowth of modernity.
Yeah.
Of this, you know, let's just all get along to, or go along to get along.
Mm-hmm. And,
please don't tell me anything that's going to convict me or change my, or force me to change my life. Because that's the problem. It's we, if we have to hear about hell and the truths of Jesus' teachings, then what happens is then I have to make a decision.
Right.
And I don't want to make that decision because it has, you know, listening to that has implications on my life.
Yeah.
It has implications on how I'm going to live and how I'm going to love and serve and be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Working a lot in priestly formation at the Abel Institute, I think the biggest issue is one, just unbelief, mostly in a crowd of my age or older, and just, you know, poor catechesis, poor formation for priests. But beyond that, yeah, I think you guys nailed it. It's and really, this should be a call to say to parishioners out there, when your pastor preaches on tough subjects, because this subject is inherently confrontational, like you said, Steph, is it demands something of you, mm-hmm. or why teach it? And right. just the in teaching of it in any strong way, demand, it results in a demand. And I can see a priest who's been beat up enough kind of going, okay, am I really going to do this? But as you said, Patrick, our primary focus should be heaven. Out of curiosity, and I agree with you, but obviously Jesus interspersed the teachings about hell, and heaven doesn't make sense without hell. You know, justice doesn't make sense without mercy. Was there anything in you, as you were researching and working on this, because you and I never talked about it as we're writing the book, that surprised you, disturbed you, or kind of opened your eyes a little bit? How did it affect you?
Yeah. And I do want to go back to, I do agree with Stephanie's point. I just want to add one thing on that. I had a Benedictine priest friend. He's deceased now, but he once preached on contraceptives, and he's literally told me he saw horns come out of a lot of these women that were in the pews, out of their heads. Like he saw this happen, and
he had a spiritual vision of that.
He did, and it frightened him so much that unfortunately he said he never preached again on contraception. But I think that there is that demonic aspect that these priests are. I mean the devil's working on them. And I knew a priest. He always recommended anytime a priest was going to preach to get a blessing from another priest beforehand, because it's just you kind of freeze up and you don't want to say something that's going to hurt them. You want to be liked, unfortunately. And so I wanted to, that came to me after Stephanie's point that I think that element is, it's sad. And but going back to your question, what really surprised me, I think, you know, as I dove into, you know, just I love the saints, and I think just with Our Lady, you know, with Attica, Our Lady Akita. I can't pronounce things. Akita. I was staying up. My dad's an Ohio State grad, and so I was watching, you know, Ohio State Notre Dame was it last night. So bear with me here. But I think just the whole, I think some of the visions that the messages that Our Lady has shared about hell and, you know, in Akita and, you know, with Fatima, those really just hammer over the point that there's many souls that are in hell. And even the medieval saints say that there's more people that, you know, that are in hell than are saved. And that's, you know, the church hasn't came up with that, you know, that proclaim that, but a lot of these saints have, and that's just really eye-opening. And we think of hell, unfortunately, some people think that it's empty, or will be emptied, and also that there's few people there. And I think that Our Lady and a lot of these saints are showing us that hell is, it's overpopulated. And so that I would say that was the shocking thing. And it made me really get my act together, you know, because I could end up being there. You know, I'm one mortal sin away from being in hell. And so I think that's the message. And I'm so grateful you reached out to me, Dan, to write this book. I took it to prayer. Actually, I wasn't going to do this book. And I went before the Lord and into the Blessed Sacrament, because I'm terrified a little bit of hell, you know, and I felt convicted to help you with this project. So I want to thank you for that.
That's fascinating. You know, we're coming up on a break here, but what I find fascinating is you bringing up Our Lady of Akita and the prophecies. And what came to me is that our mother comes to us to warn us. Like, it's our mother.
Not just to hug us.
She didn't just come
for comfort
or to be a helicopter mom, or, you know, to try to fix everything for us or to make excuses for us. She actually warns us.
Right.
And she loves us by saying, this is where I want you to go. This is heaven. But here, I'm going to show you, if you don't follow the Lord, if you're not obedient, if you're not a good son or daughter, that this is what awaits you. And I don't want you to suffer that way. And I just love that.
Yeah.
I love knowing that she comes to warn us as a good mother should, speaking yeah. truth with love.
It's interesting, because in the parenting dynamics,
yeah.
or the matriarch dynamics, or patriarch, which either way, she demonstrates the opposite of what our instinct is, because we don't want to make waves, we want everybody to feel loved, but what that is, it's kind of a false love, mm-hmm. to sort of gloss over the problems. And what does the Blessed Mother demonstrate? Well, I love you enough to tell you the hard truths, or to try to bring them up before you, if you kind of translating it into our world. I love you enough to not always just talk about the weather.
Right.
And I love you enough to reach out beyond my discomfort of presenting things that are very harsh and difficult, but are true. And I love you enough that I recognize that maybe there'll be a price for me doing that, but I love you more than whatever the cost is to me.
Right.
I mean, I'm sort of talking through the Marian example, and then how at the same time applying it to us. And I'd never thought about that before you said it, that what a good mother to warn us, I mean, like her son did,
right.
you know, about judgment.
Just so amazing.
All right. Yeah. When we get back from the break, we'll continue with Patrick O'Hearn. We're talking about a new book that he and I wrote together called The Truth About Hell, with the wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the Magisterium. We'll be right back. There you go.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will, titled Finding Peace in the Storm, with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're here with Patrick O'Hearn, talking about a book that he and I recently wrote together called The Truth About Hell, Through the Wisdom of Jesus, Mary, and the Magisterium. And I like doing these shows, but I really love the moments when you come away with something you hadn't thought of, and what you brought forward about the Blessed Mother speaking about revealing the fullness in a sense of hell, mm-hmm. is a great blessing. You know what else, Patrick, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. To me, what I really like about this book is, now so let me just speak to its weaknesses. If we were to deal with all the quotes on hell, it would be about five times as big and nobody would read it or buy it. So that was part of the difficulty of deciding, you know, which doctors of the church would we use. And of course, we use ones that people who know them well would understand why, like St. Alphonsus Liguori. But I think it is the best concise reference resource text on the topic that I've ever seen. I don't know, Patrick, is that an overblown claim?
No, I thank God. I really do. I just saw the Holy Spirit working through both of you, you and myself writing this book. And I do think that it does set it up just in a way that's very accessible. You know, we begin with, you know, the first chapter, just talking about all the scripture references to Jesus. You know, his, you know, he mentions hell on at least 12 occasions. And so we include all those in
direct references.
And then, you know, we go into other references in the New Testament, Old Testament. You know, we have, you know, the different catechism, different church councils say, doctors of the church is a chapter. And then we have on different divisions of, you know, and then different saints that visited hell. So I really think it's a complete, you know, it's not a huge book. It's 160 pages or so, but it gives you enough substance. And I really think it's a perfect reference guide for anyone that's like, you know, wanting to know about hell.
Wanting to know about hell. Who wants to know? You know, it's kind of a funny thing. But we were going to say something.
No. I was just reacting to that. You know, we don't walk around wanting to know about hell, but I think if anybody suffers in any way, you know, and they start to go, there's got to be more to life than this,
yeah,
and all of that, and they start to open up, then you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
You want to know the truth and understanding, like, what did Jesus actually say? I love that the first part of the book is just focusing.
Starts
on
with
said.
Jesus, right?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Patrick,
if you don't mind me being a little personal, you noted that you struggle with this topic. Do you struggle with scrupulosity, or do you struggle with, what is it about it initially where you're like, I don't really want to do this?
I do. I think, you know, especially, you know, when I commit a sin, you know, I have this tendency to, like, I want to go to confession, you know, right away. And, you know, mm-hmm. And I think it's a really good thing, you know, and obviously you can't drive to a priest within, like, you know, you wait through the time, you make an act of repentance for that sin. And so I think in the course of my life, you know, I love my father. But I think growing up, I had this tendency for perfection. Mm-hmm. And so this scrupulosity came in where, you know, in terms of, you know, living in fear, you know, with our Heavenly Father, you know, I don't want to offend him. And so I think that was a part where I just, you know, I felt like, you know, there is a struggle with scrupulosity. And thank God I do, through divine mercy, through that image, and, you know, that I have come to embrace our Lord's mercy and not to love him more than I fear him, but I don't lose that fear of the Lord. So I do think that was the, when you asked me to write this, there was an element of, and I think also, you know, I admire everything you do at Spiritual Direction, and, you know, maybe my own weaknesses, feeling, am I good enough to write this book? Do, you know, and obviously I feel like it was the Holy Spirit working through me. And it's interesting. I have the book in front of me because when I write books, I know it's from God because I don't remember a lot of the things that I write.
Me, you and me both.
You know, so I'm intimidated when you have me, like, come on the show. It's like, since we worked on this several months ago, it's like, you know, you get on these interviews and people ask you specific questions. I'm like, I don't even remember what I said. But I do think, you know, that I'm just grateful to, I think this topic is so important. And I'm glad it's really healed me in a sense, because another element that I think is missing in this is, you know, there's people that are watching the show that maybe they don't struggle so much with hell, but are they offering enough sacrifices for those who are dying at every moment? And one of the things I found in here is just looking at how many people die per minute, per hour, and per day in the world. I mean, wow. We're talking, I mean, I forget in the United States, if it's, I think it's maybe like 300 per hour, something, some kind of 4,000 per day, something like that. And who's praying for those souls? Who's offering sacrifice? And I think that's, and that Fatima, that was one of not Sister Lucia, but Jacinta. She kept saying like, hell, hell. She kept preaching like she wanted to keep offering so many sacrifices for the souls. And I think that's the message. I think my takeaway from this book is more than anything is I need to just offer whatever I have years I have remaining in my life to offer all that suffering up for others and for my own soul.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it brings up the reality that of all those souls that are passing away at every moment, you know, how many of them know the truths of the faith? How many of them, you know, had the blessing of the sacraments and the care of a priest and the apostolic pardon and all of this? And it's heartbreaking. You know, I've lost several members of my family in the last, you know, 5, 6, 20 years. And each death brings that reality back to the fore for me. It's like, you know, and it's even interesting talking about this. For whatever reason, it reminded me that I had a car wreck, and where my car was totaled, it rolled and, you know, completely wrecked. And I remember at that moment thinking there was only one thing I could control at that moment, and that was whether or not I was in a state of grace.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I had just gone to confession. So I think this topic on hell is just, you know, so given what you just brought up, let me ask this question. How do we help those? What is the best way to save souls that from going to hell? What can we do other than understand these truths ourselves, try to live a holy life? Is there anything that we can do to help keep people from going to hell themselves? Yeah.
You know, I would say, you know, one thing is, you know, this book, giving this book as a gift to people, especially people that are kind of lukewarm, because I think that if they see this book and like, wow, like there's some serious, I mean, some of these saints that saw hell, I mean, it's not pretty. And so to read about that, that can spark conversion. You know, books can change lives. And even giving this book, you know, Dan and I dedicated this to all the priests that have heard our confessions, you know, and I really believe this, you know, without confession, you know, I know I would be on the path to hell, and I still can, you know, if I'm presumptuous. And so I think giving this to priests and encouraging them like, hey, would you ever consider giving a homily on hell? Or when they do preach on that topic, you know, to go up to them afterward and say, well, thank you, that was a beautiful homily. So those are a few things. And I also think just that silent suffering too in our own lives, you know, every moment is, you know, there's, you know, complaining. You know, John of the Cross talks about, you know, that gets me every time, like, you're not a good Catholic if you're complaining. And I think there's so many opportunities throughout our day, you know, to offer, you know, if I think of a soul that's dying at this hour, at this moment, just saying like any inconvenience that I have, Lord, like I offer that up for that soul that is dying right now. So I think those are a few ways that I see how we can, you know, we can bring conversion and save souls from hell. And I think the rosary is, and that's foremost, I think, too. That's one of the most important ways, you know, and it was so beautiful that Our Lady of Fatima, you know, that was in her apparition, the July apparition. She said, please, you know, add that prayer after each decade of the rosary. You know, oh, my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. And I think that prayer has become so rote that we go through it so quickly. And I'm guilty of that. But every time I say that, save us, you know, and save others from the fires of hell.
That's a good reminder. One last thing I want to say, the church proposes that twice a year we meditate on hell. One is a lighter version, which is Advent, and the other is Lent. So if you happen to be listening to the show and you're anywhere near Lent or Advent, it's time to meditate on our last ends. Why? So that we can be, so that we can get jolted awake, which is really the effect this book has had on me, to help me to be more sensitive to my sins, more aware of the eternal consequences of my life, more, and I like, Patrick, your emphasis on being more self-sacrificing for those who are nearing death. For those who have died in purgatory, though this book isn't about purgatory, but it's making me think about that too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important. I think it'd be a great book study for a group or an individual to take into Lent, obviously.
And one of the things we did in the book is we put questions at the end of every chapter so that it can be used well for a group study. I think that can be a very, very powerful. And the other thing we tried to do, and I was particularly focused on this in writing this book, is highlighting God's mercy as triumphant over, you know, judgment. And so the book isn't all about you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. There's a lot of talk about mercy in contrast and why it's necessary to understand God's mercy. So it is not a downer, a book. I think what it's done, you could hear in all of us. What it's done is help us to be holy.
Yeah, stirs the heart to action.
Yeah, help us to know.
Help us to pray. Help
a
us
deeper
to be
kind
holy.
Of love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Patrick, thank you so much for helping out with this project. I know I couldn't have done it without you because I didn't want to. Let's just be honest. But I do think it's the best compilation of quotes and resources and perspective that is from root sources in the church, not philosophizing about philosophizing about philosophizing. It's what did Jesus say?
Right.
What did the doctors say? What did the Blessed Mother reveal?
In ways that are accessible. You can read it. You can understand it. You can absorb it. You can speak about it.
And if you're sick of the controversies or it's bothered you or you've had contrary ideas, I promise you, I'll give you your money back if it's not true. Read this book and the confusion will lift and you'll go, wow, how do people preach, you know, there's nobody in hell? Or how do people have a different perspective than this? It doesn't make any sense. And that's because you're right. It doesn't make sense when you understand what the church has and always has and does teach on the topic and how we need to heed the warning and orient our hearts and minds to God.
Yeah. So with that, it's always great to see you, Patrick. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.